The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ali Mortazavi, Chief Executive Officer of eTherapeutics. ETX is the ticker there. Ali, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, listen, your business is very exciting. And I know a lot of people can see the potential there. And I've discussed it quite a bit with Vadim Alexander, who's Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. And the potential is huge. But I think what I want to break down here is for the average investor, because like I said, you are future looking. There's a lot of things in there that you do that people may not understand. So if you could, in layperson's terms, can you explain what eTherapeutics is all about, please, Ali?
Of course. So let's take a couple of steps back. Look, my background is in computer science, and I ran a listed drug development company called Silence Therapeutics for many years. And really, eTherapeutics is a kind of, if you like, merger of those two backgrounds. So I kind of joined, or if you like, set up eTherapeutics with just a fundamental question in my mind. Is it possible to compute the future of medicine, if you like, or is medicine, can it be a data science problem? You know, a lot of people have, a sort of image in their mind that developing drugs or medicine is a lot of testing and in animals and chemistry labs and humans. And of course, there's, a large element of that we do here. But the question was, where can we apply, if you like, computation to that whole process of, if you like, medicine and drug discovery and drug development? I guess that's the kind of starting point, really, for what eTherapeutics is all about.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's a hugely exciting area. Like I said, you are. I mean, we talked about quite a few times in the past in the press and the media. You know, which areas of business or science can AI improve and help? And you're doing that, and so it's very exciting because, like you say, you are bringing computational sort of diagnostics to medicines and creating novel medicines. So first of all, explain what areas you're in, if you could, Ali.
Sure. So, the sort of next step to that, if you like, mission statement, computing the future of medicine, is, well, okay, what does that actually mean in practice? So the first kind of base camp, if you like, is, we needed to have a drug platform, a drug discovery platform. Yeah. And our drug discovery platform is called Galomic. And in simple terms, that kind of sets the scene for almost everything that we do in terms of computation. So, in effect, our drug platform is able to deliver our drug specifically and only to the liver. So, interestingly for us is that there are about, let's say 20,000 genes in the liver. Mm. Broadly speaking, we know that we can switch off any of those genes. So we have that capability, if you like, before we even sort of begin. Mm. So then the kind of next question is, what diseases are we, can we, address? So I said that we deliver our drugs solely to the liver. So you would have thought that we're primarily a liver company. But in fact, you can think about the liver as the kind of, almost like a sort of central hub, a depot for the kind of human body. Genes in the liver have what's called distant outcomes. And what do I mean by distant outcomes? I mean that genes in the liver affect what goes on in the heart, can affect what goes on in blood, obviously affect what goes on in the liver or in the kidneys, etc. Mm. So if we just kind of pause there, 20,000 genes, we know we can deliver our drug to the liver. We know that we can switch off any of those genes. And then we know that our sort of disease areas, if you like, that we can try and, affect are cardiovascular diseases, metabolic diseases, all blood disorders, diabetes, obesity, NASH, kidney diseases, rare diseases, and actually a whole host of kind of other diseases that you wouldn't intuitively affect the liver. So that's the kind of base camp, starting point. We have this drug platform with a capability that we kind of rely on, basically before we really, in a way, do anything. And then the question really comes down to is, well, which of these genes, or these, let's say 20,000 genes, are associated or potentially cause kind of the diseases that I've talked about. And really, that's in a way where most of our sort of, if you like, computation comes into. So Therapeutics was set up, ironically, a week before lockdown. We're a bit of a strange, what we call biotech company, drug development company, in that we are really a hybrid, a mix of technology personnel and biotech personnel. So what is kind of commonly known now as a tech bio company, but our staff consists of machine learning programmers, AI programmers, data scientists, cloud engineers, not typical people that you'd see in a, if you like, a medical company, if you want to call it that. And on the other side, we obviously have, traditional employees in biotech companies. We have chemists, biologists, geneticists, medical people, et cetera, like that. And we have really put these group of people together. You know, we can sort of funnel it down to, we know we have a drug platform. We know what that drug platform, if you like, can do. In effect, switch off any of those genes. And our task is to find the gene disease pairs, if you like, which we think are the best for us to go and address. So that's kind of, if you like, the base camp one of the situation. So, you know, you imagine we again, as a reminder, our drug always goes to the liver. So we have amassed what we think is the largest biological data set of anything that goes on in the liver, genes in the liver, diseases in the liver, all kind of scientific papers, you know, all genetic sequences, everything that you can imagine is stored in our sort of cloud kind of facility. It's a resource that never kind of stops being added to. And the idea kind of from there onwards is, what we're really trying to do is, can we model the biology in a computer before we do the experiments of gene X causes disease Y? And we have a huge amount of sort of, if you like, AI analytical tools, you know, we've had for many years and have been developing. Somewhere sort of last year, I'm sure you know that the whole kind of concept of large language models came along, and now we've really been deep integrating that into our systems. You know, seeing a huge amount of, if you like, applicability to kind of what we do.
Yeah. And let's just discuss where you are at the moment then. So a couple of days back, you announced a business update with a proof of concept data sets on four assets. Take us through that update, if you could, Ali.
Yeah, so that was a very important update because, if you like, they're the first set of results which connects our AI systems, if you like, the outcomes of, you know, what we think are gene X, disease Y in four different programs. And those are our choices, if you like, that we made, you know, our top current choices. To be honest, we have more ideas even than time and money, but these are the sort of four ideas that we chose. Importantly, we almost unique in the world of drug development. We can, if we once we nominate a particular gene that we want to switch off in a particular disease, we can make our drug in a matter of months. That's in an industry which can take years in other drug modalities to even make the drug. So we took a few months, they can take years. So already our drug platform is already showing it's extremely fast. And then the rest is that we went from, if you like, idea to outcome in 9 months, across kind of broadly 9 months across all our programs. So not only do we have the extreme speed of obviously computers and AI systems, but once we nominate, let's say, a gene that we want to go after, we can prosecute and see whether our AI systems are correct in their analysis in 9 months, which is really, I can't even begin to say how quick that is. And then what we really sort of said in that quite brief business update, because we've obviously got a huge amount of data behind that, which we're going to be sort of disclosing as we kind of go along the next few months, is, okay, so we have, if you like, four ideas. So the first one is in a disease called dry AMD. So there's a very good example of a gene in the liver having what I called a distant outcome, i.e. genes in the liver you wouldn't intuitively have thought could you know, potentially change the course of blindness. If you like, the liver is far away from the eye. So, you know, one extremely, extremely important point in eye diseases is that other eye drugs are almost always injections directly in the eye, which, as you can imagine, is a pretty gruesome thought, right? So the idea of being able to have a very small injection in your arm and a drug that could last 3 months and change the course of your eye disease is, as we say, a kind of almost game changer. So we're very excited about that. The second program, the second idea, if you like, gene disease pair that we nominated. So we never disclose the genes. You know, we file patents for those, and we need to sort of keep those confidential until the patents are published. But the second program is in what's called NASH and fatty liver, which is a huge, huge unmet need. And there again, we went from idea to outcome in 9 months. And some of the kind of, if you like, biological activity we've seen with that program is kind of truly exceptional. In terms of what we're seeing that our drug is markedly and visibly altering diseased fatty livers to almost completely normal livers. That's our drug on its own. We've tested our drug in combination with other drugs, and that's, kind of, to be honest, even kind of better outcomes. So we've gone from eye diseases to a liver disease. Our third one is in a blood disorder called hemophilia. Again, you know, I'm not going to go too much into the details. The fourth one is in a cardiovascular disease. But you can see the breadth of diseases that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Liver genes switch off a particular gene, and we're in four current active disease areas. Dry AMD, fatty liver, NASH, hemophilia, and cardiovascular disease. And, you know, so we're extremely excited about two of those programs. We're going to take those into what are called kind of new drug application, clinical trial applications to now test. So, you know, we've generated hypotheses using AI systems in a computer. We've tested them in animals, which is the results you've seen. Now we want to go into a phase one to test them in humans. And, you know, it's a constant validation all along.
Yeah. And so that's the next step. Now, looking over the next 6 to 12 months, that's the kind of news people expect, sort of, well, results from this, or is that within 12 months, or?
That's going to be in the line in the region of 18 months. But, yeah. You know, what I'd say is that every one of these assets, primarily the top two, have already generated value, if you like. Now, in the world of drug development, the further you go down the path, it's like a sort of hockey stick in terms of returns, right?
Yeah.
You know, one question for us is, for example, should we go out and try and out-license these, dry AMD and NASH right now? And I think we get a return of X, significant return. I mean, as an example, each of these programs, you know, it's not only the 9 months that it took to go from idea to outcome, it only costs us around £500,000 to get these. So if you want, it's like a £500,000 option. Now the question is, should we out-license them now? And I think there's a significant return to be had for that. But the kind of returns are exponentially more as you go further. So, for example, once we file a clinical trial application, I think that's a significant return over today. If we get proof of concept in humans in a phase one, which I think can be relatively straightforward, the returns are almost exponentially higher again. We're sort of talking, you know, randomly kind of 10x potentially being, you know, 150x, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of debate we're having, we've decided to take two of them forward because of the compelling data, because they're, you know, what we're seeing in animals is so profound. And the next question kind of for us is, well, how many more, let's call it, gene disease pair ideas are out there? How many compelling ones are out there? And the actual answer is for us, is that more than there is time and money, you know, another way to put it is a huge amount. And it's always the same process. We run the same, if you like, algorithm. We always kind of, we're very confident that we make the drug in a matter of months. We can get idea to outcome in a matter of 9 months, give or take. So it's a kind of like, it's becoming very computable in some sense. As I said at the beginning, you know, we started with that kind of concept that we want to compute the future of medicine. And what you're seeing now is the proof of the pudding. It's in action, and there's clear case studies of it.
Yeah. And so you say, you know, who else is doing this? Because I assume there's lots of companies working with AI, and it depends on their data sets and what they're targeting. But, you know, are you unique in this space?
So in terms of, like, if we take the drug platform, it's called the RNAi drug platform. My previous company, Silence Therapeutics, is doing that. So I've got a lot of experience, and people here who joined me from some of them from Silence, we've got a huge amount of experience. Maybe I've been in this industry for, I don't know, 11, 12 years or something like that. But what we didn't have at Silence and other competitors, there are about five or six competitors globally, you know, some of them as big as $25 billion market cap. But what they don't have, which is unique to us, is a combination of, if you want, artificial intelligence, compute, and the RNA drug platform.
Yeah. And so what would you say, you know, if investors now got it... you know, start following you and reading up on your news, what's the kind of milestones you're hoping to achieve in the next sort of 12, 18 months that will stand out?
Well, we're going to show more case studies because we've got obviously more of these lined up. We want to basically take the programs that I discussed all the way to a clinical trial application. And I think that in of itself takes the value of those assets from X to Y. And I think the differential from X to Y is potentially very large. We are in discussions talking to large pharmaceutical partners because, look, as I said, there are more ideas than there are time and money for us and actually almost any company. So kind of sometimes there's no point having, let's say, 50 good ideas and 45 of them are on the shelf. So we're active in talking to pharmaceutical companies in different disease areas that they're interested in and partnering with them. I think that's going to be kind of part of what we do. And generally what I'm seeing is that the convergence of technology and biotechnology, what we call tech bio, more and more the largest tech companies who historically have kind of really shied away from biotech, drug discovery, drug development, are now seeing that the advent of kind of large language models is really giving them an entry into the field, if you like. And, you know, you'll notice there's a recent deal between DeepMind and Eli Lilly and Novartis. Yeah. So I think what you're going to see, you know, over the next couple of years is a lot more large tech companies, you know, getting into the field of biotech, and maybe this convergence that I'm talking about, and ultimately maybe all pharmaceutical companies are going to become tech companies in some ways, and tech companies are going to become pharmaceutical companies in some aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Ali, well, if someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're talking about, the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, if you could give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add e-therapeutics to their watch list, please.
Okay. I think, you know, we're pretty small, maybe micro-cap company in some aspects, but it depends on how you define micro-cap. But what you've got here is, you know, one of the only, in the UK especially, and maybe very, very few tech bio companies, you know, kind of ability to invest in them. So to my mind, there's no question that the tech bio field and this convergence between tech and biotech is happening, and we just so happened to have started, you know, really 4 years ago. So we've got kind of very important and meaningful head start. And the second thing is that our drug platform is kind of unique in its attributes of being able to make a drug in a matter of months, going from idea to outcome in, let's say, 9 months or so, and all for £500,000. You know, traditionally, biotech companies are difficult investments. You usually have, you know, one or two assets, and it's kind of all or none. Here you can see, you know, a pretty powerful platform, a lot of de-risking going on, that we can have multiple ideas, multiple shots at goal. So, you know, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. You know, ultimately, I personally think that what you're seeing here is what the industry of, like I said, pharmaceutical companies and tech companies will look like in the next 5-10 years, as the convergence is right here, right now, in practice. It's not just a sort of research project. It's being commercially applied, and, you know, pretty meaningfully commercially applied.
Yeah, yeah. Marvelous stuff. Ali, it's good to chat to you, and like I said, hugely interesting area you're in, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.